I've taken a fairly passionate stand on one issue, the development of the Amazon. And most of the time, anthropologists and other social scientists who study Indians, or any other culture for that matter, we're supposed to be objective and do our little descriptive ethnography and pretty much let it be at that. But obviously, these processes that are going on a global basis are processes that you can't really be neutral about. And so you find organizations like the Anthropology Resource Center taking positions and trying to help.
Paul Shankman, an associate professor of anthropology at the University of Colorado, Boulder. He is also a board member of the Anthropology Resource Center located in Boston, Massachusetts. Through the efforts of this center staff to support Indians in the Brazilian Amazon, a new relationship between Native Americans and anthropologists has begun to take form. In this generation's module, Professor Shankman will tell us more about the ARC, its work regarding Brazilian Native people, and about the information services it offers.
The Anthropology Resource Center was founded by Shelton Davis, who is an anthropologist and who's worked in Guatemala and Brazil. And it received some backing from Ralph Nader and some other groups, some church groups. And the Anthropology Resource Center now puts out a newsletter and does international organizing, legal scholars, conferences, to try and mobilize international opinion to influence the Brazilian government to at least moderate their policies toward the Indians. The general situation in Brazil over the last four centuries has been pretty dismal. We're talking about an Aboriginal Indian population of several million. At the turn of the 20th century, still a million Indians living a fairly traditional way of life. And now in 1980, there are only 200,000 of those Indians left. So we're talking, first of all, about massive depopulation.
What has happened in Brazil, say, in the past decade? I know there's been a lot of more intense activity in the past decade than there had been in the past 100 or so years.
In the last decade, probably the most important thing that's happened is the appearance of true industrial society in the heart of territory inhabited by Indians who are living a traditional way of existence, largely horticultural, where they're slashing and burning gardens. And it's a very different situation than you found in North America. The kind of contact that you had in North America was not of the same nature. I mean, it was different in type, it was different in degree. It's true there was massive depopulation in North America too, but it's one thing to run up against General Custer and his men on horseback. It's another thing to run up against industrial society in the form of giant timber operations, cattle operations, especially mining operations, where helicopters, small planes come in, drop prospectors into the heart of Indian territory. The communicable diseases take a tremendous toll, and then of course there are the less savory aspects, the use of machine guns, the use of napalm, the use of other modern industrial methods to eliminate the Aboriginal population. So we're really talking here about a quite nasty situation. That doesn't seem to be getting much better from everything that we've learned about it. For example, in Brazil, the National Indian Foundation, which is responsible for Indian protection. That organization has seen its highest levels cleansed of anthropologists and other people who had been working for Indian rights, and the new people who have come in have been military people with no experience with Indians, but people who are determined to see national policy, the development of the Amazon, carried forth. And that, of course, means using military methods to subdue, pacify, and possibly eliminate the Indians. You know, the military people may not have in mind killing Indians outright, but the net effect of their actions does kill Indians. You build roads, you provide disease corridors, you allow prospectors into areas where white people haven't been before, and all of a sudden you find drastic depopulation.
Development is of such a nature that you can't really stop it. So we have these, you know, kind of two who are somewhat opposing forces, than the traditional people and the development. Where does that leave us?
Well, this is the great dilemma for the Indian. The Brazilian government maintains that the Amazon is just too valuable to leave to the Indian. If Brazil is to develop, the Amazon must be developed, and that means all of those great hardwoods. It means all of the vast mineral resources, whether it's tungsten or uranium or more precious metals. They just feel that the Indian is a barrier to development. And the great question in Brazil is how to get rid of that barrier. Should you do it by some humane means, or should you use any means necessary? And of course, when you have a military government, the temptation to use any means necessary is much greater. Now, if you read the Brazilian newspapers, they have these little reports in them that say, Indians attack government agents, Indians attack farmers. And you would think that the Indians are the ones that are doing all of the terrible things to these peaceful frontier settlers. But if you look at the situation historically, what you often find is that the Indians have protested peacefully for a long, long time. They appeal and appeal and appeal again and again to the government to keep prospectors out of their area, to prevent cattle herders from moving their herds into traditional farmland, tribal homeland areas, from building roads through reservations, things like that. And the government does not listen to the message, and so the Indians are forced to take things into their own hands. Violence does result, and you get these characterizations of the Indians as the guilty party.
As part of its plan to develop the Amazonian frontier, the Brazilian government had attempted a resettlement program of some 30,000 families from the northeastern regions of the country into the Amazon, yet the program was a failure, and with most of the families returning to the northeast.
The tropical rainforest is not a great place for large groups of people, and especially groups of people who don't know how to take care of it. One of the things that can be said for the Indians is that for a long, long time, the Indians were closely adapted to the Amazonian region. They knew how to take care of it. As those groups are destroyed, our knowledge of how to properly husband the Amazonian resources also vanishes. And when you get energy-intensive industrial technologies being transplanted into areas like the Amazon, you get problems. The Amazon is the source of one-fifth of the world's oxygen. It's a huge biomass creating oxygen. If you don't take care of it properly, you lose that source of oxygen. It's also a source of tremendous biological diversity. Now, as you reduce the Amazon, you reduce that biological diversity. I mean, there's still scientists in there who are recording new species. But these same scientists are now forced to record the extinction of species as well. And what do they say? Extinction is forever.
Oh, damn.
Many of the Indian groups in the Amazon, for the first time, are getting together, organizing, and trying to protest the presence of prospectors, the presence of plantations, the presence of cattle and other completely foreign enterprises. And these are substantial problems. I don't know whether all these things will do any good, but the Indians themselves are organizing, and if they've got the will to organize, the least the anthropologists who study that area can do is offer them some support.
Resource Center dealt with other areas other than the Amazon in Brazil?
Oh, yeah. The newsletter, which comes out every other month now, I believe, has dealt with energy development in the United States and how that's affected not only Indians but also these little boom towns in the West. They've dealt with rural agricultural development in the United States, why small farmers are having a difficult time, how rural revitalization might take place. A recent issue of the newsletter has been on fisheries development, how people use ocean resources. I edited an issue last year which dealt with what's happening to indigenous peoples in the South Pacific.
The Anthropology Resource Center has also acted as informational resource consultants for an hour-long radio documentary entitled Amazonia. The program focuses on the contact and interaction experienced by native people confronted with the development of the Amazonian region. In addition to the ARC newsletter, some of the center's publications include A Call for Action, a report on the Yanomami Indian Park in Brazil, and a booklet entitled Native Americans and Energy Development. The Anthropology Resource Center also maintains a Citizens Information Center at its offices in Boston. This center offers the researcher newspaper clippings, research reports, and public documents on a wide range of topics, including, but not limited to, indigenous peoples, international development, education, and social sciences. If you would like to know more about the ARC and their work regarding Native peoples, you can write them at the Anthropology Resource Center, 59 Temple Place, Suite 444, Boston, Massachusetts, 02111. Once again, that's the Anthropology Resource Center, 59 Temple Place, Suite 444, Boston, Massachusetts, zip code 02111.
Everybody seems to be touched by these global processes. I mean, there are corporations that want to come in and do timber development on South Pacific Islands. There was an oil superport that was going to be built on a tiny little group of islands where the coral reefs are used for fishing and other purposes. Of course, one oil spill does in your coral reef. So even in the most remote areas of the world, these processes are taking place, and Anthropology Resource Center is trying to report on them.